D1, number 9A.
All there is consciousness. And consciousness is being. We always have as much being as we have consciousness. So the more we spend consciousness, the wider we spend consciousness, the more being we have. This has been recognized right from the beginning when mankind has come out of the mythological concept of existence into a more understanding concept of existence. It has come with the old Greeks, 500 BC. It has come in Israel with the prophets. The Greeks said, knowing is being. And in Proverbs they said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And in the more rational age of today in which we live and from which we still live, Descartes, that French rationalist, said, cogito ergo sum, which means in English more or less, I think and therefore I exist. Consciousness is being. There is nothing else that is being except divine spiritual consciousness. And for those spiritual seers who have a touch of that consciousness, they need no more proof of their existence. They need no proof of the existence of God, nor a proof of the existence of themselves. In spiritual consciousness, we witness the evidence of being. But naturally, when one touches that level of consciousness where one is convinced of being, then comes always the desire to impart that level of consciousness to those who have not seen it. And that is the reason why those few big spiritual seers in human history have always tried to translate their spiritual vision to the point of human understanding. This is not easy. Because spiritual consciousness cannot be taught. Spiritual consciousness is something that is certain of itself without any process of reasoning. But there are always ladders that are let down from heaven, and so this spiritual consciousness must always be taught through symbols. And it is the symbolism that matters at the beginning, and it is the symbols that have to be rarefied and purified and lifted higher and higher until human understanding gives way and finds the depth of its own consciousness as spiritual divine consciousness. So let's be clear that all what we can do together is to try, through symbolism, to teach what spiritual consciousness knows by itself. Now, in the mythological age, the very fact that they believed in a being was not taught so much by a text, but by rituals, by action of rituals. And only when mankind grew into the more rational age, then the symbols, those crude symbols of rituals, gave way to a more precise expression of symbols, a text. So we have those great exposition of spiritual reality in the holy books like the Bible. And it has taken them a few thousand pages to present what they have seen. Then Mrs. Eddy's presentation of her insight into spirituality already reduced that great and lengthy text to a few hundred pages, though what she presented was more than the Bible. She presented, in addition to the Bible, the principle and rule of being. And then we have come to our little chart. And it is again a presentation, still smaller, very reduced. And we have seen that chart, which really teaches the whole of the Christian Science textbook. Therefore, the essence of that Christian Science textbook consists solely of four levels: science, divine science, absolute Christian science, Christian science. Four. And in addition to that, the four ways of operation: Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Eight terms. And in addition to that, seven, making 15, the seven synonymous terms. And with those 15 terms, John Dorley was able to present spiritual consciousness, the form of spiritual consciousness, the dynamic of spiritual consciousness, in such a reduced form that we can have it on one page, a chart. He made a terrific contribution, which I think the world will only begin to acknowledge in much later years. It hasn't seen what the divine idea has been doing with John Dorley. Today we begin to realize what has happened, because divine consciousness is so infinite that no voluminous text could teach all of what that infinite consciousness contains. Or as the Bible says, the world could be filled with the books that could be written on what Jesus taught. But this is not necessary. What is necessary is that the symbols become fewer, simpler. The moment they become fewer and simpler, they become more powerful, and the glory of it, the moment we can reduce infinity to a few fundamental terms which are clearly defined, then they lend themselves as an instrument for creative thinking, for the creative aspect of science. So, up to this point, all learning of the divine teaching was limited to a text of the Bible, a text of science and health. And this is a limitation, because spiritual consciousness is infinite. But the moment we can take out of the text those fundamental root notions of being, as on the chart, and as we understand each one of those root notions, their meaning, their relationship to each other, then we can begin to combine ad infinitum those terms, and we become creative thinkers. Then we have touched that point where science is no more a religion, or just only a religion, but where science becomes pure science. Religion, as you know, comes from two root notions or words, religare, which means to bind back, but also from religere, which means to read again. And being bound back to a inspired text is religious, and to reread a given text is religion. And it only becomes science when that text is understood such and in those fundamental elements that they lend themselves willingly and clearly and precisely for a completely new creative thinking. That's science. You know that definition of science which we had, which also embodied trustworthy methods for the discovery of new truth within its own domain. Christian science will only then begin to broaden out and really to take its proper place as something wide when that religious sense of science is replaced by this creative sense of science. When we are courageous enough to think originally, just as Mrs. Eddy did, she was the most original thinker. It is then when we are no more bound back to a text and where we have to prove everything we say through quotations from the text. You know, there was a time, naturally, about 20 years ago and so on, when we came out of the Christian Science movement, where everybody said that whatever we said was against the textbook or against the Bible and couldn't be confirmed with the Bible or with the textbook. Then, naturally, we came into that habit of that method that whatever we said, we were proving through references from the Bible and the Christian Science textbook. But since then, 20 years have passed, and we are no more there where we were 20 years ago, where we are no more in a position where we have to justify ourselves against the Christian Science movement if we are right or not. That's passé. Science is that which finds trustworthy methods for creative thinking. And John Dolly gave us the computer with which to do that on that chart. And it's only up to us to understand that chart so that we are a good, what you call it in English, programmer for the computer. You have to know how to feed the computer so that a sensible answer comes out. If one doesn't feed the computer properly, the answer comes out, there is a mistake or something like that. And that's what we begin to see here. So let's be clear that what we are seeing is a tremendous development of symbols becoming fewer and simpler and rarefied. Somebody told me that John Dawley, in his verbatim report 22 of the Signs of the Bible, was already hinting at this, what we were doing last time, and what I was saying here. There he shows how, through the whole 7,000-year period of Bible history, the great idea of life, truth, and love, that great sense of divine science, that being consists of the fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood, that great idea was always symbolized in every period of the 1,000-year periods, but always differently, and always with an ascending sense of the symbolism. And I think it's worthwhile just to go through it and see where we are today. I only go through it because to pinpoint our position. In the first 1,000-year period, the idea of life, truth, and love was symbolized through myths, through origin stories. They took quite crude symbols of the mythological world. And so we had Adam as a sense of fatherhood, then the three sons of Adam as a sense of sonship, then Enoch, who walked with God at the end of the first 1,000-year period, as a sense of motherhood. In the second 1,000-year period, we have again myths as symbols. It's the Noah and the Ark. Noah as the father, preserving creation. The Ark as the sonship. And then the bow of promise, the bow of the covenant, as the promise of salvation, sense of motherhood. Then when we come to the 3,000-year period, then the Bible takes the symbolism out of mythology and uses half-hidden Jewish history to symbolize the facts of fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood. And it is symbolized through those patriarchs. It is therefore symbolized, I would say, through tribal characters. Abraham giving a sense of fatherhood, then really showing Isaac, his son, and Sarah, motherhood. And so you had afterwards Isaac as a sense of fatherhood, his two sons, sense of sonship, and then Rebekah as a son, sense of motherhood. And again with Jacob, the father of the whole tribes, then the 12 sons as a sense of sonship, and Joseph as a sense of motherhood, caring for the whole tribe. And then John Dawley shows that at that point, Moses came in, and he wasn't any more the symbol, but he gave the symbol. He gave a symbol of the fatherhood as Yahweh, and the symbol of the sonship as the covenant, as the commandments, and the symbol of motherhood as the promised land. See, he began to take it out of patriarchal history and tribal characters, where people were the symbols of the idea of fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood. And then an interesting thing happens with the 4,000-year period. With the 4,000-year period, with the prophetic age, the idea was symbolized, the idea of fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood was symbolized through an idea. It wasn't any more tribal characters. It wasn't any more half-hidden history. It wasn't any more mythological stories and cosmologies and so on. Now they began to see that the symbol is an idea. And so the prophets showed the Father who sends as showing that the prophets caught an inspiration and were fathering in this way the whole Israel by telling them about their inspiration. The sonship was that they told them that the idea would work according to system. And the motherhood of it was that they were telling them that this idea would lead to the real promised land, to the new Jerusalem, the mother of us all. So at that stage, the symbol was the idea. Then came Jesus, and Jesus demonstrated the Christ. He didn't recognize himself anymore as a mortal, but as the Christ itself, and so identified for the first time the symbol with the idea. There was no more a duality between the symbol and the idea, but the idea became the symbol, and the symbol, Jesus, became the Christ, the idea. So that there was that wedding of symbol and idea fulfilled in the man, Christ Jesus. He could say, I am the Christ. He was the idea. And then we come to the 6,000 year period in which we are today. And with the 6,000 year period, the period of sonship comes in, that period where we began to see that life, truth and love, or fatherhood, sonship and motherhood is something which is reflected by each one, that each one is the idea, but that the idea has a principle. For the first time in Mrs. Eddy's discovery, we have a declaration or an interpretation that an idea has a principle. At that point, she gave us the metaphysics of the idea and gave us the idea of science. And for quite a while, we had as a symbol the idea and its principle. We are thinking about the ideas plus principle. And in thinking about the idea, we were very much interested in seeing the metaphysics of the idea, the combination of the idea, the working together of the idea. And we knew that God was the principle of divine metaphysics. And then John Dawley shows that from that point on, we must go forward and onward. That we are approaching the 7,000 year period, and in the 7,000 year period, we see that principle and idea is one, so we have no more the symbol of idea plus principle, but the symbolism rises, and we have just principle. So the symbol just becomes the synonymous terms for God. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Not even any more idea. Because principle and idea is one. And after the seventh day, always comes an eighth day. The Jewish theology always recognized an eighth day and an 8,000 year period. That period which integrates all the preceding periods into timeless being. Into timeless being, but being is consciousness. And being doesn't need to teach itself to be being. Being doesn't need any more symbols to know itself, what it is. And so at that point, the symbols disappear completely. That's the story. Tremendous story. Just let's go through it quickly. First, we have in the first 1,000-year period, origin myths as a symbol, mythological myth. In the second 1,000-year period, mythological history. Then with the third, we get out of the mythological sense and we have these great characters like the patriarchs as symbolizing being. They were the symbols. With the 4,000-year period, people as symbols disappeared, and instead of it, ideas became the symbol. With the 5,000-year period, Jesus showed that the symbol and the idea is the same thing. Then, in the 6,000-year period, it is lifted out, and you have just the symbol of the idea and the symbol of its principle for the first time. Because ignorance of the divine idea, which Paul taught, is ignorance of the divine principle of that idea. So the symbols become higher and higher, and we have the symbol of idea and principle. And now we are coming to the close of that 6,000-year period and touching the beginning of the 7,000-year period, which urges on consciousness to have the higher symbol of just principle. And then we'll see and feel it already in our bones that then really spiritual teaching will give way to conscious being, which does not need any symbols. Which shows that it is only as long as we have to teach spiritual consciousness that we need symbols. Therefore, let's be clear that science is not God himself in its nature. Science, with its symbolism, is a tool which helps us to reach that state of consciousness which does not need any more teaching, self-interpretation. Being is being, and being does not need any science for itself to teach itself and to know itself. Being, the divine being, only has signs and the symbol of signs in order to let the ladder down to human consciousness and build that bridge for human consciousness to get hold of the divine. Now, with the chart which we have in front of us, we can see that. We can see at what stage of that big development through the 7,000-year period this chart comes in. Namely, it has only capitalized terms. On that chart, we have nothing about the human problem. No word of matter, flesh, mortal mind, error, sickness, sin, death, lack, poverty, and so on. Nothing on that chart. On that chart, we not even have the term God. We not even have the term man. We not even have the term idea. So we see that chart is God's own revelation of itself, using John Dolly, to bring out the symbolism of today, of the advancing stage of consciousness, which is ready today to touch that state of the 7,000-year period where consciousness is just at the point of principle. Principle knowing itself as itself and through itself and for itself. And that's all. The introduction of the term God and man and idea and mortal mind and so on are all working tools for us, but not for God. They are working tools for the human consciousness, but not for being, the divine being. So, when we are considering this weekend this chart, we know very well from which standpoint we are considering it. From that advanced standpoint towards which the world is developing. I was more and more surprised to see lately in various new publications of thinkers of the world, of physical scientists of the world, to state bluntly that our way is through science but past science. That's a big step, because up to now one felt that science was really the climax, the pinnacle of achievement in the way of human understanding and consciousness. And now they begin to see that science is only a working tool, that deeper down in consciousness lies that realm of reality which does not need science to explain itself. It only needs to explain itself to something outside of itself, but not to itself.